He was kind of giving the disciples a little insight about the coming of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Of course, they didn't really understand it all at that time, but they come to know the risen Christ. So I titled my message this morning, Who's Afraid of the Big Wolf? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 16, it says, I, meaning Jesus, am sending you out among wolves. And then in Matthew 7, 15, Jesus said, Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now, I think most of us know and maybe even fear wolves, but some can be clever. So how do you recognize a wolf when you see one? Think about that. I think we can probably all answer that question in our own way, but we need to pay attention to their behavior, not their facade. We don't need a manual on wolf behavior to have certain identifiable personalities or certain indefinable features and even a predatory nature of a wolf. Not only that, but generally they hunt in packs. So if you see one, there will always be more than one. The idea of lone wolf is actually a fallacy for the most part, because if a wolf leaves its pack, it's usually to form its own pack or to find a mate. Wolves are very social animals. They typically surround their prey from all sides. That being said, it takes a careful caring of a shepherd to care for the sheep in the open hills, especially in the dark at night. The scripture today that I read is, the problem isn't failing to recognize wolves. The problem is that perhaps a multitude of reasons, the sheep are unable to protect themselves. Scripture also said we humans are like sheep and have all gone astray. The characteristics of sheep and humans, if you study a little bit, you'll see they're very similar in their characteristics. That's why Jesus used the image of the good shepherd. The sheep need a shepherd to look out for them, one who will recognize the wolf, stand up to that wolf, and look out for all of the sheep and sacrifice whatever's necessary on their behalf to keep the sheep safe. So here the scriptures are full of wolves, reference of wolves. Now, not real wolves, not exactly the kind of Red Riding Hood wolf. You ever read that story about a grandmother? But the tale comes close to Jesus' warning about the Pharisees. Not the one in the story of the three pigs, although Jesus tells a story about building your house upon a rock so that it can't be blown down. You remember that one? Huff and puff and I'll blow your house down. In fact, many of our old folk tales have creative roots in the stories and the scriptures. But the opposite is also true. About 500 B.C., the ancient Greek literary ethic named Aesop, and he tells the story of a wolf in sheep's clothing. You ever hear that story? A wolf in sheep's clothing? Yeah. It's a tale of a wily wolf, and he tries to trick a flock of sheep by donning a fleece. However, a shepherd looking for a sheep to kill for the sacrifice ends up killing that wolf instead, because he was disguised as a sheep, and the shepherd was looking for one for the sacrifice. So the poor old wolf thought he was deceiving people, and really he ended up on the, you know, that lesson was to fraud and liars are always discovered. Basically, that's the lesson. Frauds and liars are always discovered, and eventually they pay for their actions accordingly. And the moral is sometimes told to us. The evildoer often comes to harm through his own deceit. Sometimes that's true, but then the opposite can also occur, and wolves can prevail. at least for a time. Sometimes, by the time they're discovered, it's much too late. Enter the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd of his flock, which is us. Now, Jesus would use this fable in his own teaching many years later in Matthew 7:15. However, in Jesus' story, the shepherd is the hero. The good shepherd, that is, the one who truly cares about the sheep and doesn't himself run away or enable the wolves. Why are wolves so terrifying anyhow? Well, popular in Israel, wolves terrorize flocks and shepherds with their predatory ways. Still, even today, that's why the shepherds are in the fields. At night, the shepherd and the sheep can't see. They have a little fire, but they can't see out into the wilderness. So as a metaphor, the wolves describe the worst of human behavior. And you can find this in Jeremiah, and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Ezekiel, which we'll look at a little later, and Genesis. And throughout all four Gospels, wolves are symbols of fierce, lone, animalistic, cunning, and evil beings who would prey upon those of faith, especially the weak and the naive. By weak and naive, we mean not just physically, but also weak in the faith, weak in identity or moral compass. Remember the story of Cain? One example in Scripture in Genesis. God tells Cain that sin is crouching at his door like a wolf. Cain's jealousy and rage threaten to overtake him and will consume his soul eventually if he isn't careful. Well, we know the end of that story. Cain wasn't very careful. He spilled the blood of his brother due to his wolfish temper. But this wouldn't be the last time blood would be spilled throughout the scriptures. And it wouldn't be the last time that shepherds, those who were supposed to be watching out for the sheep of Israel, failed to do their job or enabled the wolfish spirit instead of the spirit of the living God to guide their actions. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us and strengthens us. So sheep may not be simply naive, though. In some cases, they may be weak in power, status, ability, or even agency. Perhaps they've been marginalized to the extent that they find themselves at the mercy of wolves who determine their fate. Without a shepherd, they lie surrounded, helpless, and without hope. Fearful, they can trust the wrong people or succumb to their own weak spirit. Sometimes they become victim to a wolfish of the attitude of divide and conquer. So, throughout Scripture, we see shepherds, leaders of God's people, who smitten with power or a weak spirit of their own, end up enabling wolves or becoming a wolf themselves, disguised in sheep's clothing. Well, Scripture, we see sheep who are innocent at heart, smiting sometimes with leaders who lead them astray of their own selfish motives and ambitions. We are all like sheep that have been gone astray. So how frustrating it must have been for God to see his people misled, misused by those who take oaths to take care of them. It's no wonder God makes his own oath, as told by the prophet Ezekiel. And I'm going to read that scripture to you in Ezekiel. And if it's sort of like when you read some of your children bedtime stories to put them to sleep, I hope that you'll just forgive me for reading to you. But I think it's important because all of the Bible, including the Old Testament, is important for our life here on this earth, for us to be able to better understand God and how God loves us and how he will take care of his sheep. And if you want to follow along in your own Bible, you'll find it in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 31. Now, Ezekiel chapter 34 was talking about the shepherd of Israel. And is also talking about the good shepherd, which I want to pick up in verse 11. Ezekiel was a prophet, and we need to better understand it. And you can look at the first part of chapter 34 for yourself and get an idea of what he was talking about.